Banter Podcast with Colin Jettis.
What's happening, people? Welcome to the General Banter Podcast. We're recording this early, Monday the 27th of July. We have a special guest today, MMA superstar Liam McCourt.
Hi.
There we are. We can say that. I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, if you went down the list of famous MMA fighters from here, it's not a long list, like, is it? Before it gets to you, it's like if you were from here, you'd be like, do you even know MMA fighters to the regular person? And they'd be like, Conor McGregor. You know, unless they knew like some of those SBG ones in Dublin.
Yeah, Northern Ireland.
You're right up there. You're the only fighter that's famous from here.
I don't even think I'm famous at all, or I never even think that. It's so random.
Well, you know, like, who's being asked to be on like TV shows and being interviewed and stuff like that, really?
I suppose. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's because I'm a bit of an anomaly, like a girl from Belfast.
Who fights people.
Yeah. In a cage. It's a bit random.
Oh, in a cage. Yeah. That's what separates you.
Not like, in the street. Yeah.
I know it's mad because, you know, you hate to have that conversation, but it is, I'm sure everybody has it with you where it's like, what's it like being a female who fights?
Yeah.
You can't avoid that conversation.
I know.
Nearly.
If every single person asks me to meet me, or if I'm out anywhere and anybody asks, what do you do? I just say I'm a coach. Like, I don't go even enter into that kind of worms because it just goes on and on forever.
Yeah. Yeah, it is weird. It's especially professionally. You know what I mean?
I know. It is strange. It's so normal for me, but then I forget to other people. They're like, that's so weird. Like, she does that, such a random job.
And I can't imagine, like, you know, I think Shane mentioned, by the way, I watched Shane's podcast with you.
Oh, yeah.
And that would be like me having on like fucking Ronaldo or something, just being like, so it must be easy to kick the ball in the net, is it? I don't think Shane's watched the fight his entire life. So, Leah, what is it like when you get punched in the face? Sore or no? Is it sore when you get smacked in the face? But you're bound to get people who hear that for the first time who are weird about it.
About me fighting?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Not weird about it, but they'd be like, you know, lads starting that whole conversation. Are you good, like, for a girl fighter? Or,
yeah,
like,
could you beat me up? Like, oh my gosh.
Because one of the darkest things I've heard recently was when I was just going back on the back and forth of the DMs with you, and I was like, yeah, we'll do the podcast, whatever, 10:30 or whatever. And then I said, and then at the end, I'll let you choke out our producer here for the crack. And then you went, let me. And I was like, just fucking... All right, absolutely no shit taken at any point of the day in your life. You know?
No, not
like,
really.
We're all having a laugh, but here, he could do fuck all about it.
I know, I am quite like direct sometimes, and I forget when I'm in front of people to not be so.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. It's because I, in my day, the day, like, I'm doing like 10 million things in one day. I'm like driving to Dublin to train, doing like media on the way down. So every day is like every second is like accounted for. Like, my life is so crazy.
Yeah.
And then I forget to have like patience with people when I'm talking to them instead of being like business all the time.
Yeah. So, yeah, I have zero patience. I don't know if that's strictly to do with either. Being a fighter. But so this surgery you have, did you wait till it was like lockdown? Or like, did you look at that as an opportunity to be like, okay, there might not be a lot of action happening? Or has this been like scheduled for a while?
Well, I think it's like years of damage in the shoulder. And then.
What did they do? You said so it was quite like, invasive.
Oh, yeah. They had to like put three like screws, like anchors, to fix the tear in my shoulder. And then they had to also remove floating bone. The surgeon was like, your shoulders of someone like twice your age. Like, it's been bad for a long time. And I think in my last fight that like, it just like pushed it to the limit. And then obviously
that
like,
armbar?
Yeah.
Trying to roll out of that.
Yeah, that and then lockdown was like, you couldn't get scans or anything. So like when I could get a scan again, I just went and got it done. But
yeah. It just looks like a smashed egg in there.
Yeah, it was so bad. He was like, I haven't seen like a bad one like that in ages. And us fighters are just like, just keep going.
Just
keep
plow
training.
Through it, yeah. Do you reckon that, because I know there's a lot of fighters, like even, you know, you watch UFC, where you see the miles on them eventually, and their class, and they're just, they're probably like too tough for their own good.
Yeah.
You know, like Cain Velasquez and people who are like lethal, and they're just like, oh yeah, my knees are just two bits of dust holding like two bones together.
They're so, like, MMA athletes are so next level with what the pain they can deal with and what they go through, because they're so... Like, you know, there's so many, like, there's no union, they're not looked after well, and they have to deal with so many surgeries, injuries, everyone's paid for themselves, it's like, it's crazy.
And you really only have, like, you know, you're probably weighing up, like, do I just fight through the next year?
Exactly, yeah.
Because I'm not going to be able to do this, like, for another 15 years
anyway.
I'm only going to be able to do it for, like, three or five or whatever. So you're like, nah, sure, I'll just fucking
suck it up.
I'll just ride this till the wheels fall off. Like, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
And it's like you have to weigh up, like, because obviously if you fight, you're going to get paid, and if you don't fight, you're not going to get paid. So it's like, is it worth the risk of doing a training camp when you're really badly injured and going in and getting smashed, or just getting fixed and being 100% when you're fighting next?
I know, that's so weird, because it's like, there's obviously no support system for the fighter, so it's like you can just go through this whole step-by-step thing, week to week, and you're dropping weight and fighting and you're hurt and everything, and then something shitty can just happen. Like, it could be half an hour before the fight and you're like, oh, that money that was paying all my team and everything is just away now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Fucking hell, that's wild.
And the windows of opportunities are so small for fighters, and like, they don't get calls to fight all the time. You have to kind of take any opportunity you can and just fucking wing it. Like, take massive risks and just do it.
Can you, is that the game? Do you just sit by the phone waiting, or can you put yourself out there and be like, listen, I'm good to go whenever? Or have you just stated that, like, when you're like in the ring, out of breath, like, by the way, I would like to fight again. By the way, believe it or not, I'm actually all right.
No, you definitely have to go make opportunities and like try and make things happen for yourself and make relationships with the right people and push yourself and put yourself out there, because everybody just wants to sit and not have to do like social media or promote themselves.
Yeah.
But like, to get go out and get a fight, you need to be an interesting person to make people want to watch you. Do you know what I mean?
I know that's. I mean, obviously, McGregor sort of has made that more of a thing where it's like, almost just being a lethal fighter isn't enough.
Yeah, totally.
Because if you're just trying to go by that, you know, like, real clean record where you never lose and your reputation builds up and everything, and then you do lose, people are just like, oh, well, fuck it, whatever.
Yeah.
But if you're like a big personality and people just want to see you fight and the fights are exciting, no one cares when you lose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm sure if you're sitting in your DMs at home, people care that you lose. But, you know, like the Nate Diaz's and the, you know, all these people that you really want to see fight, they lose and you're like, oh, whatever, they're exciting to watch, you'll watch the next one. You know what I mean? So I think it is a lot to do with personality now too, isn't it?
And like, especially MMA, because it's not like boxing where like one loss and you get rolled off. Like MMA, there's so many ways to lose. You're fighting you can't just pick and, you don't fight journeyman. Every fight you're taking is a massive step up.
Yeah.
So, and people respect that when there's so many ways to lose, so many ways to win, and it's so exciting. And I think that's why people, like a loss, people are like, oh, like whatever. Like,
because you could, you know, again. Yeah, you don't have to get absolutely wrecked in a fight. Someone could tap you quickly, and you're like, oh, for fuck's sake, you know, you're not even sweating yet, and you're away home. Like, but at least you get paid.
Yeah,
something. You know what I mean?
I know.
But it's that the stress of that must be fuck. You must be like, just, you know, going from the car to the gym like a week before a fight with a fucking, you know,
you have no idea,
with a bubble around you, like, no one to open that door for me. Yeah. No one breathe near me. Don't let me get in this fucking room.
And then before my last fight, 2 weeks before, I actually cracked my orbital bone in my eye.
Oh dear.
And oh my
where
god,
is that? Is that the top or the bottom, or is
it
the whole thing?
Here. So like that bone in the eyelid. Yeah, I threw someone and landed and headbutted them, and my eye went up like this, and Owen was like, stop spar. I was like, no, it's okay. Like, no, stop. You're not smart again to fight. And I had like media, I had like camera crews coming every day to the gym, and I had to like cancel load of them.
Big fringe over on
wear a hat. I would like sit in interviews like this, like, trying to speak, because I have this massive eye, and I was like, oh my god.
Is that like so that your opponent doesn't know, or is that so that like the company doesn't know?
The promotion doesn't know.
Yeah,
so
the promotion doesn't. Yeah. Yeah, he's going to have a lot of swelling around that eyeball.
I was like putting on makeup in the gym. But yeah, no, there's so much pressure and it's so intense.
Have you ever, so that, is that the worst thing that's happened to you, like on the run up to a fight?
No, a year ago, it was actually this shoulder. It was 4 weeks before my Bellator debut, and I tore my rotator cuff in my shoulder. And I swear to God, I actually couldn't lift my arm. And I was like, I actually can't give up this. Like, this is a massive opportunity to come to Dublin. It's like my first fight on a big show. I was like, I have to go and do it. And then everybody, my coach was like, Leah, you cannot fight with this. So I got like a cortisone injection, which kind of masks the pain. Yeah. But I had to cut weight. So I couldn't train, I couldn't spar, but I had to cut weight. So I taped my arm to my chest. I was like doing laps of Ballymun Park in Dublin in a sweatsuit with my training partner, like just doing laps and laps and laps. And in the gym doing like, hitting with one hand. That was like, that was the most insane one. That was crazy.
Jesus Christ. And what, how'd that fight go?
Yeah, I won in the first round. It was kind of like, get in, get it over quickly, because I knew my arm wouldn't like stand a tough fight.
Jesus, that is a nightmare. Even running probably didn't feel that good. So, oh my God, that's grim. That last fight, that was your last fight, the big one. We were headlining.
And yeah, in Dublin.
That's wild, isn't it?
Yes.
Because I've only been there for like comedy gigs and stuff, and you know, you're looking around, going, oh, I need some size of place in here. And I, obviously my mind goes to like, imagine doing comedy in front of this many people. And then I was like, watching that, I was like, imagine just getting, you know, asked to jump up there and headline to fight. You know what I mean? It's insane. Like,
we were in...
This is what I've always wanted to know. Does the crowd... How much does the crowd affect your energy? Is it good or bad? Like,
I don't, to be honest, take it in that much, the crowd, because I'm actually getting into a cage to fight someone. So my focus, I go in this weird, weird zone, and everybody knows not to like speak to me like they're fight. Like I'm just going to this zone, and I'm like, I'm going to fight this person. So all I can think about is that person in that cage. I don't think about anything else. And then when I look back at the photos, I'm like, oh my god! Like, I guess I can imagine fucking doing that. And it's like, I was sitting in the hotel room beside the Three Arena, and like a hotel room this size. Like my coaches, some of my friends, everybody's just sitting there, like, it's like impending doom until I get the call to go to the arena, because I was main event, so I had to go quite late. So we're all just sitting here like this, and I'm lying like a robot, like, literally want to be sick, want to run away. I'm like, we could all just go and go to Dublin Airport and fly away. Like, why would I, why am I choosing to go into the Three Arena next door and risk humiliating myself in front of thousands of people? Like, why am I doing this? And they're all like laughing at me, like, yes, everybody feels like this, like, da da da. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, it's because you're going from this small, tiny hotel room to walk around. It's like just so surreal. Your adrenaline's just insane.
And it's such a, you know, obviously, like, you've had these like visions and you're like dreaming about it the whole time. Yeah. You're like, oh, I'm going to walk out, it's going to be fucking epic and everything. And I've done bigger shows. Again, the only thing I can relate it to is a performance as such, like, but all the visions you have, and this is my walkout music, and this, it's gonna be epic as fuck. And then there's this real thing where you're like, your feet are actually on the stage, or where, you know, there's like a real tactile thing where you go, this is fucking actually happening. Yeah. Or like, you're thinking about stuff and you're running through stuff in your head, and someone catches you with a punch, and you go, this is like, not, oh my god, this isn't like the computer game I was kind of dreaming of in my head type thing.
It's like that first punch with those 4-inch gloves. It feels like you're getting hit over the head with a brick. It's like, no matter who hits you with those small gloves on, it's so real. Stink. It's like, oh fuck, this is real.
Yeah.
Or like when I walk out, you feel the canvas, and it's like your feet are in the canvas. It's like, oh my god, this is about to happen. This is crazy.
It must just be wild, you know, like. Yeah, it just must be fucking nuts, like, or, you know, right after it, where you go from, like, the mad crowds to, like, you know, maybe if you lose, just sitting in a quiet room. You know, the contrast is insane.
It's
insane. Like,
it's like the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. You can't describe the emotions you go through. It's like every emotion is just times a million. And it's like, when you're in the warm-up room, it's again, the warm-up room is about this size, and all the guys that are fighting, you see them warming up, all confident, and you see them either come back bleeding or getting carried back in, and they've either lost or they won, and you're having to deal with that, looking at that emotions, dealing with your own emotions, and then trying to compose yourself to walk out and do this. It's just so crazy.
Especially
it's such a crazy life.
Know, you know, if you like know people on the card or whatever, and I don't know if you can watch the fights backstage.
Yeah, but so we're all sitting watching the
fights.
And
you see
them,
maybe you know someone and they lose.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh fuck, I'm going to have to like, do you speak to them?
Yeah, they come back up and it's like,
shit one.
You can't really say it. Like,
yeah, I'll see you at the bar
raging
later.
Like, but I have to fight here as well, so we can't talk.
I was, that fucking punch. I don't know, I mean, it's so rough. Like, I remember seeing this quote from, was it Randy Couture? And it was like, how well you do in our sport depends on how well you can take a punch in the face.
Yeah.
Or so it was that, I'm probably murdering that quote, like, but in his wee gentle voice, but I did jiu-jitsu for on and off for probably 5-6 years.
Did you? Where did you do it?
I started when the Gracie Club was over in the Valley Leisure Centre in the fucking squash court, which was like, you know, you'll not catch corona now if you trained in there. It was like fucking, it was like, catch ringworm? I'm all worms, you know what I mean? My whole body, I'm 70% worms. But in there for a good while, and then they moved out, and then one of the guys from there started... He's the one, Damien, who started SBG.
Oh, yeah,
Damien, So then I trained there for a long time. But we used to live in Belfast, and I was just doing it casually, but, like, I took it for granted that we lived in Belfast. If I lived in Belfast now, I'd be doing 2 days, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, and then it just got really, really hard to train because we live in the fucking sticks now. But, and again, lockdown's come around, so now I'm like, I'm sure I could make one class a week, for fuck's sake, you know what I mean?
Just, it's so therapeutic, though, going and doing it. You feel so much better after.
Yeah, you do.
Do you
especially find that? Especially if you're a person who... overthinks a lot and people tell you to meditate and you're like, it doesn't really work for me. I need to like, you need to be like fighting for your life and exhausted and then you're calm. You're like,
It's like such an outlet and people don't understand how jiu-jitsu is so technical and so difficult. And the same with MMA, people just think it's finding the cage. Like the amount of skill you need to do it is just insane.
Yeah, and almost like the brains will get you further than your physicality.
Totally.
Like
it's all like skill.
You know
and
how
technique.
Many times I don't know how many times I've been fucking choked out by like some wee tiny guy, and you're like, what the fuck is going on here?
I know, it's so crazy.
Just all over you, but there was a guy who was like training for a fight, and I just turned up. I mean, this was like a Tuesday. You turn up and you're a bit late, and you're like, what's crack, boys? Now, and they're like, oh yeah, we're just gonna like Shark Tank this guy for the weekend. He's fighting at the weekend here.
Was it MMA fight or just
MMA fight? Yeah. So they were just working like positions. So just everyone that turned up, newcomers, whoever it was, got in this lineup.
Like fresh person every minute.
Basically, yeah. And they were like, oh, just get in the floor and get on top of him, like side control or whatever, and let him get up. Right? And they were like, if you have MMA gloves with you, you can put them on, you can sort of strike a wee bit to the body or whatever. But if you don't, you're not allowed to strike. And I had no gloves, you know what I mean? I was just turning up to do, roll about the floor. And I got down in this position. I was like, right, okay. And he's like, the buzzer went, and he starts wriggling about and gets up and just starts fucking smacking in the head. And I had no gloves. So I was like, wow! What the fuck's going on here? I was like, I didn't sign up for this shit. It's like a regular Tuesday. I was like, I was going to Starbucks after this, making a boojum. I don't know what the crack is. They're just getting fucking, like, you know, the one comes from under your armpit. Yeah. And I'm like, fucking Jesus Christ, bro.
Jiu-jitsu with strikes is so different. Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah. I think immediately, like, you know,
respect,
that's why, like, I mean, I'm in no place to comment at all. I don't really like doing gi jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
It's I don't see the point of it. Because there's a lot of times you're just sitting there and someone's got like a good grip and you're like, I could stand up and just walk away with you attached to me right now. What is going on here? I do prefer
no-gi. Yeah, I would do more
like
no-gi.
Because there's a lot of stuff where, you know, they're teaching you. You're like, I know rightly if someone wanted to kick my head in here, this would not be effective at all. When you're like all wrapped around their one leg and all, you're like, fuck this.
Worm guard.
Worm guard. Yeah, exactly. And they're like, you just get that and you plait the belt around the thing and it's full of macrame, whatever you call it. I don't know if Shane touched on this, but like, how do you end up fighting? You know what I mean? It's like one of those weird things.
So random. It's actually so random. So my
like, you know, people, I'm sure, like, people say to comedians, like, oh, I bet you're a class clown. Or people like, oh, in primary school, we just fucking kicking people in the neck, or what was going on?
I went to Methody, and my dad had, like, he had three daughters and he always wanted us to know how to protect ourselves. So he made us do judo from when I was a kid. And we absolutely hated it. Like, the best time about the week was the Thursday night after judo, because you had a full week until you had to go and do it again. It was so rough. And dad was like, you used to go from ballet and then you used to go and do judo and just go in and like murder everybody. But it always came from me not wanting to do it and wanting to get the fights over quickly. So that's always why I was good at judo, because I wanted to get it over really quickly. So I just went in and like smashed them really fast, and the matches never went that long. And it's the same with MMA. I'm just like, get me in, get me out of here. But so I did judo as a child, and then I started training in an MMA gym in West Belfast after I had my daughter, because I loved like all martial arts. I loved watching boxing. Like, I watched Bruce Lee movies. I wanted to know how to strike, like learn more. It was like Muay Thai I was doing. And when the guys heard I had background in judo or in grappling, they were like, literally, there was a card coming up in the Ulster Hall, and they said to the promoter, here, we've got a girl.
Jump in there.
I was like, I actually remember. Like, I was
in the Ulster Hall.
Like, yeah, in the Ulster Hall.
Not like one of these hotels in fucking Coleraine somewhere that they have fights.
So I was like the first female to fight in Belfast and in Northern Ireland. And I actually remember that day being like, what? And why am I always think this. What am I doing this? Like, why would I actually choose to do this? This is so crazy. But especially because it was like nobody went before me and did that. I was just doing this like out of the blue. And I remember in the warm-up room being like, where is the fire exit? Like, how do I escape this with nobody seeing? I've just ran out of here. Like, it was just so nerve-wracking. And then just from then, it just like, just became so obsessed with getting better and wanting to keep fighting. And it just is so crazy. You just get so addicted to it. It's like so
I'm
hard
sure.
to describe.
Yeah. And I bet you, like, it's one of them things where you're like, it's just the reward.
Yeah.
You know, you're probably like, the training's fucking shit, whatever, getting hit in the face, being aching all the time, shoulder surgery is shit. But like, when you win, it's like, it's like worth everything.
It's like, I after I win, like, you always, I just like, I'm just like, don't, it's like the losing is that I can't deal with it. I train so hard so I don't lose. It's the worst, most heartbreaking thing in the world. And then it's like that one day of contentment after you fight. It's like, that's what you do it for. You do it for the next, I was cutting weight and no one said to me like, you lie, because we do it for the Sunday mornings after the fight. So yeah. We do it for that waking up that Sunday morning thinking, yeah. Oh my God, look what I did last night.
You can't
night.
Move your neck.
Yeah. And
you
can- I can eat.
Yeah. There's no skin on your toes. It's great crack. How much weight do you have to like lose before a fight then?
So, oh my God. Like, so.
That was actually, we have a bunch of questions here, but I'll ask that okay. one now, because what was your training split and nutrition routine to get prepared for a fight? Yeah, so like, how far out do you just go like, right, tomorrow I'm eating nothing but fucking lettuce and ice cubes? Till?
So, because MMA is so intense, we have to do like 3 sessions a day. I'm driving up and down from Dublin. Like, nutrition is quite hard because you need energy to train all the time. And I have to manage, obviously, like, coaching, I have my own business, like, I'm training in Dublin, I have a daughter. Like, I'm doing so many things in a day. And it's like, you try and get your weight down, but stress causes a big part of like why you retain water. So right, I okay. retain a lot of water. I can cut quite a lot of water the day before the fight. So
okay.
the day before my last fight, I think I woke up at 72 kilos. And on fight morning, I was 65.8. So I had to lose like 7 kilos in a day. And like, that isn't like, that is like pushing myself to the total extreme. It's like,
yeah.
is Leah going to die? Like, it's, yeah. it's really intense. And in women's MMA, there's only 2 weight divisions in Bellator. So you're either 125, which is like tiny, or you're 145, which is 65
That's
kilos.
Such a jump.
Yeah, 65 kilos, which is what I do, but it's still tiny for a girl, like a girl my height, my size. So it's like...
Why, that's a crazy... What do you say, 125,
125,
145?
Yeah, yeah.
That's massive.
Yeah, so there's not like...
That could be the... Because you're quite tall, but that could be the difference of like some wee girl that's like fucking 5'1" or something.
Yeah. But
that's a massive thing. Like, who? What about all the in-betweeners?
I know, exactly. Or even, because, but 145 is still a tiny weight for like, a
Gabby
female.
Garcia walks in there.
Oh my God, I know. So, like, so the last fight I did 7 kilos, which was the worst I've ever done. Like, I've cut to 61 kilo before, which is horrendous. I was literally nearly died doing that. But the last fight I did 7 kilos, and it was honestly horrendous. We actually got to the point where I went down to weigh in. It was 10 minutes to go, and I had 0.2 of a pound over. So if I don't make weight, it's like such a like tarnish on your reputation. Yeah. Your name's like, you've never made weight. Even if it's like, even if you've killed yourself for 48 hours, it's like teeniest amount.
Yeah.
And it was like 10 minutes to go, all the Bellator commission staff were there. I was the main event. Like, if I didn't make weight, like, they'd give me this big opportunity. It would have been horrendous. So Aaron Chambers, he went and grabbed a sweatsuit. Everybody was like, right, Leah, get, the gym was right there. And everybody was around me, be like, 10 minutes. And at this stage, I was like, trying to walk on the treadmill to sweat. I couldn't even run. I was like, and I had like hair extensions in, and my boxing coach, his wife, does my hair extensions, and just luckily he knew how to take them out without, like, I was like, cut my hair, and my friend went to grab scissors, and he's like, no, Leah, because I was like, there were like 3 minutes to go, and I like ran into the bathroom and started like taking out my hair extensions, and I like ran back in and got on, and I was on weight, and I was like, oh my God.
Jesus Christ.
But you lose 20% of your purse as well if you don't make weight, so it's crazy. It's
oh
so,
my God.
And then it's like all that, and then, oh, I have to actually go and fight tomorrow night. It's like, I always think the hardest part is making the weight, and then it's like, right, you can eat, recover, and try and focus on fighting.
It's mad that like if you were doing a fucking, you know, bodybuilding, one of those like shows where they paint you all yeah. fucking black and everything. That would be tough enough on your body, but then you have to actually go and fight
exactly.
like the
it's
next
like,
day.
I'll have to go and literally push myself.
How long does it take to like get back to some sort of normality? Like, you know, when you get off the scales, are you just out the back with fucking Lucozades and donuts and everything, trying
no,
to? Like...
Oh my God, no! So there's like we have like a really like scientific protocol of like potassium, like what like supplements take, like magnesium and drinks and shakes. So you never want to eat after. It's like you need to drink because you're so dehydrated. Yeah. So it's like drinks. Then you have to like let your body. Recover, and then you start eating like soft foods like that you can your body can process.
I read Forrest Griffin's book like years ago, and he weighed in and he said he went nuts and ate like fucking donuts and everything.
Oh yeah, he was probably sick or something.
Well, he said like while he like 5 minutes before they're calling him out to fight, he was yeah. like shitting himself yeah. basically, like got the sugar shits, and he said, and I think the line was like trying to wipe your ass with those fucking gloves on or whatever. It was a nightmare, and he had someone tying his shorts and everything.
That's, somebody actually did shit themselves in the ring before. Did you see that?
I've seen that a few times. Yeah, that would be me if I had my fucking MMA debut. I wouldn't even be fighting yet.
If that
I'd
was
be
me.
Getting the intro, you know, the guy in the red corner, and I'd just be like, Brian Nye player, the Brian corner.
If that was me, I'd be like, somebody shoot me, I'd never come out in public ever again.
Oh
like,
my God.
On canvas.
What if you were just that person? You're like, that was your nickname?
Awful.
Shit oh pants God. McGee, and you just, that's your move, you know what I mean? Would they ban you? You know what I mean? How many fights would be like, well, you know, bringing up the stats and all, Reach, shit himself last 4 fights here. There seems to be a recurring thing happening there. He's a big shitter. He's got a dangerous ground game, and he shits on your face every once in a while.
Oh my god! No, I think if there's any bodily fluids that comes out, they just give it to the other person. It's like no contest or whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
Any bodily fluids?
It's like, for people are being sick, they're going to call it off. Do you know what I mean?
Oh my god! You do. I mean, it's such a even the little experience I've had with like doing jiu-jitsu. I did judo when I was younger too. It's rotten. Like, the whole thing is stinking. It's like I got a cut like in my gums because a fucking toenail hit me in the mouth.
God, that's awful.
You know when you're walking home and you're like, well, I'm gonna get a nice lunch because I'm clearly gonna die. You know what I mean?
It's
I'm
so
gonna
brutal.
Get a blood disease and I'm gonna be dead. Very shortly.
It's so brutal in your body. It's so tough. I was like, yeah, I don't know. It's disgusting, and I actually don't like. I hate sweating. People, like, I always wear like long rash guards because I have to like touch all these random people all the time. It's like, ugh. They're all these like smelly men who are farting all the time as well. It's disgusting.
Oh yeah, there seems to just. I was at a seminar one time. It was John Kavanaugh was up, and one of the guys was just sitting there, you know, in a circle, and he just fucking let out this giant fart, and you're like, of all the times, I know, like day to day training in here, it's a bit of crack, and he's just sitting with his leg up, you know, just watching this demonstration, he's like, and everyone was like. Could you not have, like, for a couple of minutes just tell that in? You don't know what I mean? He's was like, I thought that's what you did around here, no?
Oh my god.
Just shit your pants, no?
Was it when he was demonstrating, like, it was so quiet?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And, like, John Kavanaugh, you know, everyone's fucking glued to it. Yeah, and like, he's talking about specific moments in, like, Gunnar Nelson's fight, and he goes, this is a movie used, no? This guy now shits himself on the mat.
What's
like,
John doing?
Just sort of brushed it off, but he didn't look like.
Yeah.
He didn't look happy about it. Like,
what the fuck?
Yeah. He's sticking. Like, good job, I'm getting 10 grand for half an hour here. I swear to God, I made. Because I used to do a bit of design, I made for Damien, like, probably about 4 or 5 posters for seminars. And, like, because I was gigging, missed all of them.
Are you serious?
I just got it. Absolutely got it.
Oh, no, I love going to a seminar.
What was I going to say there? Someone, my mate actually texted me, he's like, oh, ask her, you know, would you want to fight Cyborg and all? And then he was like, actually, don't ask her that, that's a bit insulting or something.
No, she's a champion in my division. Like, that fight, I just had a 6-fight deal with Bellator, so that fight probably is going to happen one day.
Mm.
Hopefully she retires before then, but...
What age is Shania?
Fingers
crossed. Hard to tell. hard to tell when you look like a fucking actual orc, but here, you're in the fight game, it's all good, baby.
I think she's like 36 or 30.
36.
She's old. Yeah.
She's based. Like,
it's she looked, her last fight, she looked the best she's ever looked. And I'm like, of course, she comes to Bellator in my division and literally looks like the best she's ever looked.
Do you think fighters get like more respect and pay and stuff in Bellator? I think that's why a lot of them are like, fuck this,
I think
UFC, carry on.
Bellator look after the fighters so much better than.
Yeah, you get that vibe. You get.
Do you not only from that? There's such a. Like, there's. The people have such good morals and they look after us. And like, even from me, my perspective, what I've experienced, they've looked after me when they haven't needed to.
Yeah.
Do you know? And it's like, the UFC are just like, meh, don't care. Like,
they're all about the UFC. You know, you feel like the biggest fighters would be like, I'm unhappy about my pay. And they're like, fuck off then.
Yeah.
We don't need you.
Yeah. It's because it's such a, like, they're such a monopoly because they're, like, Bellator and UFC, they're obviously the two biggest promotions, but the UFC have so many. The UFC can get away with it because people have that mindset. It's like UFC, UFC, UFC. They don't realise there's other massive promotions. Like ONE. I went to a ONE Championship show in Kuala Lumpur over the summer. I was over in Thailand and friends were fighting in it. And I actually went there. It was like the most incredible. It was the arena was insane. It was just the most amazing setup. And people need to open their minds a bit more, being like, oh, hold on a second. We can get a lot more money somewhere else. And they're going to treat us better.
And like, I've been a bit more than a casual fan of MMA, but like, you know, you watch all these things and for years you think like UFC's the fucking ultimate thing, and then whatever Bellator, whatever, you know, eventually you'll get up there. But like, we went to the Bellator event in the Odyssey where they did like a Bama thing.
Oh, yeah,
on the same
like
night. I think I seen you. I was fucking steaming. We like, you know, when you get accidentally too drunk and I walked into this arena, now we had VIP tickets, nothing to do with me. My sister worked in the Hilton, and all the fighters were staying in the Hilton. So they hooked her up and she's like, do you know what Bama is? They said, you have tickets here. And I was like, fucking right.
Let's go.
And we drank in the house and all fucking headed over. And I was wrecked. Like, you know, when you're just like, I've made a terrible mistake here. And
I was injured that night. I think I was in a cast as well.
You could have been in a fucking, in a gorilla suit. I wouldn't remember. That's fucking. But I remember like Roy McDonald and I was sitting.
I know, yeah,
and I was like,
that's right.
What the fuck is going on here? But Yeah, I walked into the fucking arena with a VIP ticket, forgetting for a second that I was Barry the Blender Henderson and had made like videos that had millions of hits on them. And I walked in and I was like, I've got a photo on. And I was like, holding onto the railing on the way to the side of the thing, like, no problem. But I remember at the time going like, this isn't like any less impressive than the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, I was like, so this could be, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like a step down or anything. It was the quality's brilliant. The fucking setup's unbelievable. Yeah. Everything's so professional and huge.
Because Bellator are owned by, they were owned by the biggest agency in Hollywood. Is it Viacom?
Could be.
I think it is Viacom.
Viacom's the one that owns everything.
I really know that. But, and then they're owned by their shows are Paramount and they've got massive production companies. So they have so much, they put so much in the production and the events and the fighters and all the rest of it. But then they have a lot of people are going over to Bellator now. But
yeah.
It's like not one promotion has all the best fighters. Like there's gonna be fighters in each division that are the best in different promotions. You know what I mean?
But sure. Yeah, that's happened loads. Even the Fedor thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They were like, "Oh, is he gonna be good in UFC?" And like, I'm sure he would. I'm sure he'd done all right since he murdered everyone before anyone else got the UFC.
Yeah, I know. Crazy.
Who are your favorite fighter? Like, who would you did? Or is it one of them things where because you fight, you don't really give a shit?
No, I.
Your favorite fighters are like your mates.
They are. No, I do. Like, obviously, I have a lot of good friends and all the promotions. And
do you ever get people where they're like, "Oh, you fight," and they're like, "I tell you who I like."
I know.
They do that.
Who do you? Who's do you like?
My favorite fighters, like of all time.
Just in general.
Like it was giant BJ Penn fan for a long time, but I don't know what
he went swiftly downhill, didn't he?
Yeah, but I think it was going to happen. I love people where like they always talked about like he needed to do more work, more conditioning and stuff, and he was like. Nah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And he was like that good.
Yeah, he didn't need to.
Without doing anything.
Yeah.
There's something about that. But I just like the what he did, you know what I mean?
So
I like the jiu-jitsu. I like the way he had like four arms on the floor. Like he would just trap legs and fucking everything. So people like that and they obviously like, you know, anytime it's like Masvidal or someone like that.
Yeah,
fucking animal like who would fight you in the lift like
literally.
Yeah. Yeah, who did he slap? That was Usman he slapped? Like about a year ago or something.
No, it was Leon Edwards.
Oh, was it? Yeah, fucking hell. Was that like out the back and he slapped about him? And he just walked
UFC
up
London,
and,
yeah.
And he just slapped him.
No, he like it was like that three piece Minnesota thing. He just walked over and was like, "Let's go."
Jesus. Crazy. Who are your favorite fighters then?
I have so many. Like I love watching. I love Rose. I love Ioana. I love Connor, I think he's
Rose is class. I like watching Rose too.
Her technique's unreal, her boxing's unreal. I love Connor. I love his fighting style. Khabib.
Yeah.
Who else do I like watching? I feel like because I'd watch fights, I would go and watch it. Because I'm obviously a grappler, like so that type of style I love watching. I don't know. I love watching certain fights rather than fighters. So if there's like a good fight on, like the people deal with different situations and
good combination of fighters fighting each other. Have you noticed early MMA UFC days or whatever, the wrestlers were always the ones that came through and would just pin people down and beat the shit out of them. And then it gets more and more elaborate, and then jiu-jitsu comes in, and then these crazy strikers come out of nowhere, like, oh, this guy's from Brazil, or this guy's a karate guy, and there's all these different styles.
Yeah, I love
that. And now it's gone right back to, like,
wrestlers.
The wrestler who just fucking stuffs you in the corner and punches you.
Because the wrestlers seem to pick up boxing a lot quicker than the strikers pick up wrestling, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, that's what you see a lot of, like, there's like 70% of the champions at the minute are like, have a wrestling background or grappling background.
Scary, like when you see like real good wrestlers.
Yeah, it's like demoralizing thing when you're sparring someone and they just are repeatedly taking you down and beating the life out of you. It's like, oh my, get me the fuck out of here. It's just the worst thing ever.
It's brutal. Like, and I mean, like, yeah, you could sort of, anyone sort of powerful or athletic, you could teach them how to throw a punch, kind of, and they might get lucky. But I think the grappling thing just takes so long.
Yeah, it does.
You have to like feel it instead of just knowing it.
Totally. And it's like, your reactions, your natural reactions have to be on point. You have to be drilled so many times.
Yeah.
Think of it is, you have to put yourself in the worst positions in training. You have to like get battered in training to get better. So if you don't want to keep doing that, you're not going to pick it up fast. Like I come out of training crying most days. I'm like, oh my God. Like literally crying the whole way home to Belfast because I've just had the hardest training sessions.
I noticed like in a wee bit of jiu-jitsu how used to get, you know, like awkward positions you get where it's like, someone will fucking like put their knee in your neck and you go, right, I can rest a second here. You know what I mean?
Or if someone has you against the cage, you're like, yeah. Breathe for a second, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't get out of, you know, side control, but if you mount me, you're fucked.
Yeah. It's so true, though, I know.
We'll hit some questions here, because this will probably fucking take us forever. I've got loads of them. I don't know why.
Where did you ask them?
I did it on Patreon, so...
Oh, right, okay.
I didn't want to do it publicly, because you just get all sorts of fucking crazy people.
Weirdos,
so
yeah.
These are like... This is like a small forum, almost, that you got. I don't know why the first question is Colin versus Mickey, who wins in the octagon. Mickey wouldn't make it up the steps into the fucking octagon. Ask her, was it Shane Todd who was actually looking pictures of her feet?
No, it's like...
And that's true, isn't it? People like hitting you up for
I was like, is this not a common thing that people ask people for feet pictures? Because I get them all the time. Is that not normal? Would you get asked for feet pictures?
What are you talking? I get asked for fucking... I get asked for shit like, my brother owns a tile shop in Newton Arts. Do you want to fucking do a stand-up gig in the toilets? No. My mate's turning 40 and he's a... Can you make a video calling him a fucking wanker?
Can you send me a video of doing this? Can you send me this? I'm like, no. I was like, I want to write back. Like, are you actually serious? They're like, if you send me a picture of your feet, can I send you money, please? And I'm like, all right, if you want.
Yeah.
Here's some details.
I heard it. I seen something recently. Like someone retweeted it or something. It was like a boxer had sold their socks or something.
Oh my god, I seen this.
But I think
£500.
Yeah.
Starting.
But I think what it is.
It's like a fans only for feet.
Yeah. Do you know what it might be? It might be like if you're into feet, but then you know someone's like an athlete or a fighter or something, they'd be like, oh, they use their feet a lot.
It's so weird. That's like, I have the hardcore feet ever, and they're fat, and because of me, he looked all the time, and my ankles are so swollen. It's like, they would like not want
probably,
to see my feet.
That's probably what they're into. They're probably like, nah, fuck all that wee pretty feet thing.
Those big, dirty feet.
big old fighter's foot. Delicious. I don't know why I just had do you remember that John Jones fight where he basically broke his toe off?
Oh my god, yeah.
And then they were like, your toe's off. And then he went, oh, Jesus Christ.
I didn't even know it. So bad. How did that even happen? It was like literally like just split. And then
it was just
the
over like the other way. I fucking, you know Joe McColgan?
Yeah.
You friendly with
him? Yeah.
He called down to SBG one day. And like, I just keep turning up on these shitty days when there's like actual fighters in. And everyone's just, you know, switching partners and everything. He's like, oh, do you want to roll? And I was like, yeah, okay. And whatever happened, as soon as he jumped on me, I rolled and my finger caught in the mat and just went over there somewhere.
Oh, God.
And it just fucking snapped.
And are you serious?
And I was like, I think I broke that there. And he's like, oh, it's all right. No. And then I was like, hold on, I'll go check on it. And I definitely did break it.
You're crying in the bath.
And then, hold on, I'll go tape this up. Fucking in the street. Jesus Christ. Yeah, it was an avulsion. It was like they took the wee tendon right off the finger.
No way.
So it just moves about like by itself now. So you owe me money. No, I'm joking. Joe, yeah. Like a real fighter probably would have just, you know.
Like that actually did happen to me. And to be honest, I did tape it up. So see that scar in my hand?
Yeah.
I was in San Francisco competing at the IBJF World Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Championships. And I was like doing a kimura and some girl's body came down. This thumb, like I mean, came off. And I have never felt pain like
that. Is that surgery or come off? What do you mean?
So that was surgery because...
I thought you meant it ripped off at that
point. I had like 5 matches after and my coach was like, you've only stabbed your finger, Leah, tape it up. And I was like, no, I think I've really done something to my hand here. I really can't move my hand. They were like, give me that. Like taped up my hand. They were like, go ahead and go fight like 5 more matches.
Yeah.
And that night I was like, I came out, I was like, I have really done something to that. And then I had to end up getting surgery because the thumb actually had come off. It was crazy.
That's brutal. I dislocated my thumb doing judo when I was a kid as well. But it was this, like the most lingering fucking annoying injury.
Like,
it was like
you forget how much you use your hands for everything. It's like
3 months later, yeah. You go to get put your hand in your pocket and you catch it and you're like, fuck, and then it swells up again. You're like, Jesus,
it's so sore.
I love when people just try and you've only staved it, sure.
It
must be a nightmare in the fight game. Like I used to play rugby and you'd fucking wreck yourself and people would be like, well, sure, it's only 3 minutes to half, and you're like, I've completely blown my knee out.
And you're in the middle of sparring, your coach is like, all right, well, there's 2 minutes left here, let's go. And I'm like, I like can't walk, or I've like put my shoulder out, and they're like, all right, keep going. It's like they do not care.
Like, I was saying earlier, about like playing rugby and falling on the ground, the guy fell in my hand, broke it, just snapped my whole hand off, broken wrist, and the bone broke up the arm like that. And I remember the guy going like, ah, looks all right. And I was like, well, like, why is my wrist there? And the guy was like, I stand you at the side there for a wee minute. It just went up and across and then down
that
again.
That sounds absolutely horrendous.
But it was weird because they, you know, like, they put this cast on, it goes right up to there, and you can't, you're not allowed to turn your arm like that because the bones move. So you just had, I was like this. But they kept telling me, like, you have to come in and get an x-ray every, like, week because if it moves, we basically have to open it all up and break it again pins in. Also, I'm just, like, at home for 2 weeks, just nobody fucking come near me today. Ugh. Grim. Yeah, I have injuries too, Leah. let me get into these questions here. What feels better, getting a win by submission, KO, TKO?
Doesn't even matter.
Like, as long as it's quick.
See, the minute you win, yeah, it's like, did that just happen? Like, this is, thank God that happens.
What's it, like, would you rather lose, like, a tough fight or something quick happen and you're, like, on a, you know, like, a quick submission?
What, you'd win?
Like, if you were to lose, is it worse to, like, say you go in there and you fuck up and you get submitted or something? Not knocked out, because I'm sure that's horrible, but just a quick finish and you lost. Would you rather it was like that or you had a big war and lost?
Oh, no, a big war. Definitely a big war. Your worst nightmare is going and getting finished quickly. That's my worst nightmare.
Because there are fights where, like, they're tight and somebody wins, but you're like, no one cares because the fight was, like, so good. I love this. Would she ever fight a man if it was the same weight class?
Would I ever fight a man? Like,
you probably do in training,
like,
all the time. You probably train
men.
I gotta say, like,
and I probably would beat a lot of men as well, so
I gotta say, well, yeah, I'm sure we'll see when you fight Niall after this one arm. But, like, especially, like, fighting and stuff like that, like, there isn't much of a, until you're actually fighting professionally, and everyone just trains.
I know, so it's like boxing, people don't, I was like, who's fighting a rat?
And now I wish you would just sit over there, because it's extra weird. And also, it probably is a rat in this fucking building, who knows.
No, so, and, like, boxing, you, like, people wouldn't spar 1 or 2 kilos heavier. Like, I'm going in and sparring a friggin' 110-kilo man and grappling, not just boxing. Like, sometimes just go spar anybody, fight anybody. It's just so spit and sawdust, like, so old school. Like, MMA still is. It's crazy.
Yeah. I've seen, from the little experience I've witnessed, it's just no one gives a fuck.
Yeah.
And they try to make that an issue, like, at the minute in comedy, where people are like, where's all the diversity and whatever? And you're like, the problem is, there, for some reason, there's a lot more, probably in MMA, there's a lot more fellas doing it.
Yeah.
There's a lot more fellas doing comedy. There are females doing it, but the percentage of the people who are good is the same. So there's only a small percentage of good guys.
Yeah.
Small percentage of good females, which I hate even using that term, like, but, so obviously there's less.
Yeah.
And when you're good, no one gives a shit.
Yeah.
No one gives a fuck.
Oh, what, they give a shit about me if I'm a girl.
No one gives a fuck what you are. You know, gender, fucking whatever. No one gives a fuck. Like, once you're actually good.
Yeah, and especially in the gym, they're just like, Ali is one of the boys, like, batter her. Like, I get it worse.
Probably. Am I right in thinking Leah trains at multiple gyms? And how does she find balancing that? Nutrition when traveling, energy levels, being a mum, etc.
That's such a good question. Yeah, so I train. My head coach is Owen Raleigh in Dublin. Obviously, because I'm Dublin, I can't do every single session in Dublin. Like, I go down, and like, if I camp, I'd be down 3-4 times a week doing my MMA sparring, like, all the striking technical classes, grappling, wrestling for MMA. Then when I'm up here, I do boxing coach Ray Ginley. He's in Tribe. Since I went professional, we've been working with him. And then I do strength and conditioning with Mike McComish, another friend of mine. So I could mix it up. And I have my Brazilian jiu-jitsu coaches, Sebastian Torres and Yuri. So I'm, like, everywhere, like, it isn't, like, nobody else, like, would do the I am so insane and crazy and psycho, so it's like I have to go in there knowing there's literally nothing else I could have done to win. Like, I have
a lot of, like, even that Dublin run, like, is that every day or is that
so
every
be like Monday, Wednesday, Friday mornings I would leave Isabella to school, drive to Dublin, and then it would be like sometimes a Tuesday or Thursday night as well. Yeah, it's intense.
You know, like, schedule your fights during the summer so that she's off. You just stay down there for, like,
to be honest, I don't mind it. I don't mind being in the car, listening to music. Like, it's so therapeutic for me. I like it. But the amount of time it takes out of your day to do that, that's what annoys me, because I'm so active all the time. It takes, like, six hours traveling.
It's a lot. Like, yeah. And even just, like,
Energy levels is like, whoa.
Yeah, what's the sitting on your arse doing for your...
Exactly.
You know, your energy or whatever. Like... Even if you fucking pulled your back or something, and you have to sit in the car then.
Exactly. All week, so like, I used to do night sessions a lot down there, and I would have been like nearly knocked out in training, like driving home in the snow, literally slap myself to keep myself awake. But it's like, you do all that because you know, you've got that end goal in sight, and you always think it's going to pay off, and like,
yeah,
it has to an extent so far, so we just have to keep doing it.
Oh, and you wouldn't shoot up the road at that fucking time, like, Jesus Christ. I suppose that maybe, like, there's a lot more sparring partners and stuff down there.
Yeah,
obviously.
My training partner's roommate isn't, yeah.
He does he have his own gym now?
He's always had his own wee gym, yeah.
Oh, right, okay. Let me see, Jack Flanagan. How significant is the gender equality gap? What? I think it's supposed to say pay gap in MMA. That probably doesn't exist, does it?
It totally depends on what promotion you're in, who you are. Like, I manage myself, so I negotiate on my own contract because I don't have a manager. A lot of people have their managers working, you know, doing that for them. But I think MMA, it's a lot more equal in MMA than it is in other sports. I think females are treated a lot more equally in MMA because they're so highly
respected.
It
just depends what level you're at. You know, if you're a top-end UFC fighter, obviously you're going to get paid more than if you're on, like, a local card or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, oh, totally, like, yeah.
You know, and if you're a star, you're a star. You know what I mean? If you're headlining, I'm sure that doesn't matter. Not that I know anything about it, but...
Yeah. It does depend who you are, or if you've put yourself out there,
if you're headlining Three Arena, I'm sure you're getting paid more than a fella who's fucking on the prelims.
Yeah.
Or not, I don't know.
I hope so. I hope
so. You've been doing some other management right here. Yeah, you need some, like, just fucking... I mean, is there a lot of, like, fight managers about?
Yeah, and I just feel like, I'm like... notoriously against them, because it's like, they don't, why do they take 15-20% of a fighter's purse when the fighter's the one doing their own physio, doing their own nutrition, doing their own fighting, they're the one training, they're the one,
exactly.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, they take too much money off the fighter's purses, and they don't do, like, the only thing they do is negotiate a contract. Like, they don't get sponsors, they don't, like, and I just like to handle all that myself, because I think I'll do a better job than any of them managers. Yeah,
unless the difference was like crazy, you know what I mean? Unless they're turned around, you're like, Jesus Christ, that's 10 times what I was getting paid.
Yeah, so obviously I understand why some fighters need them, because they aren't as, how do you say that? I don't know, like, savvy with, like, dealing with people. Do you know, some fighters aren't business-minded, so they do need somebody to help them.
It must be weighing up that business thing. Like, I think you find it just in anything, any profession, the successful people are also kind of good at business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And they understand it. It's like, they know that what way they need to do things to be interesting or to get noticed or to...
Yeah, and you probably hate this question, but, like, obviously you can only fight for a few years.
Do you have to make the most of it while you can?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happens after that for you or, like, anyone who fights?
Like, I have 10 million things I want to do. I want to be, like, Bellator world champion. I want to be a black belt Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu world champion. I want to have my own academy. I want to have, like... obviously staying, like, sports, presenting their broadcast, I know. It's just so unknown. Like, everything's so unknown. And, like, an MMA fighter's life, it's like, you could literally get injured next week and be out forever.
Yeah.
Just, it's so, everything's so unknown. There's not a path you have to follow. You just kind of have to make the right decisions along the way.
Yeah. Well, like, even having those, like, five things you just mentioned there is probably more than a lot of people have. You know what I mean? There's like, oh, it's fight till I'm 64. Do you know what I mean? What was the second part of that question? How fighters are perceived, etc. I think there's a general high level of respect. I feel like in this day and age, even this sort of chat is kind of like sexist to start with.
What is that?
You know what I mean? Where it's like, I think there's a general high level of respect that fans have for fighters, regardless of gender.
Yeah.
Because of this MMA has made huge progress for women in professional sports.
Yeah.
Well, not really, because loads of professional sports have women in them.
Yeah.
And MMA only had women.
Yeah, so
when was that?
Ronda, like, a couple of years ago. Really.
Yeah, like, literally, was it 10? It probably wasn't even 10 years ago.
No, it would have been, like...
Because I know Dana White was, like, laughing, like, fuck that.
Never having females.
Having said that, I feel like once the doors opened, it was completely normal.
Yeah.
Which is almost like, what the fuck are you playing at, bro? You know what I mean? It was like...
So, like, Scott, who obviously is the director of Bellator, he had, like, he was, like... CEO of Strikeforce always had females fighting, but it was the UFC that always said they didn't want females in it.
Yeah,
and now that they have, it's like just went crazy.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it shows you how stupid that was, really, because there isn't a lot of that, like, I don't think there's any of that. Like, oh, sure, we'll fucking, you know, we'll go to the bar when the girls are fighting. Yeah. No,
the girls are so excited. I always think the girls are so much, they'll not tap as quick. They're so, like, they go in there and it's like, let's go from the start. It's like crazy.
I genuinely think you do see a lot of scrambles and stuff on the ground. And there's female fighters tend to be way more flexible.
Yeah.
And there's like, even you in that fucking armbar, you're like, ouch! Is that,
you know, I'm not flexible. I just think it's even the coaches say girls won't tap as quick as guys will. Like,
yeah.
That's just, it's just, I don't know.
Maybe not.
Because
like,
we're all crazy. Like, why? What type of girl would want to fight in the cage? Obviously, we're psychos anyway.
Yeah, probably. If you're cool with just getting smacked in the face.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. These are pretty good questions. What sparked your interest in MMA? We covered that kind of. What's the most disgusting combo of food you've put together when binging after a fight?
Like, just anything, everything. I think you get such a, like, not an eating disorder, but a bad relationship with food because you are so strict. And then after, it's like everything and anything, just ordering everything and just eating crazy.
Just taking one bite of it, throwing it. Yeah. Fucking thing. Have you ever had a fight where, like, you know, you had a tough weight cut and you've been eating fucking nothing, and then you're like, oh, I can't wait till this is over, and then you're like, you've bit your tongue or something, or your mouth's sore?
No, never.
I always think I'd be a nightmare. You know, if you were like, oh, I can't wait this big steak dinner.
Dude, do you know,
like,
what? I actually did.
A fucking lip hanging off or something.
That actually did happen in Belgium. I remember we went to, like, out to an Italian after I fought in a cage wars in Antwerp, and there's a photo of my mouth like that, and my jaw was so sore, and I was, like, eating, like, trying to eat as much as I could, but I couldn't. Like, oh,
just
God.
Fall off your... That's what happened. And finally, does she agree you have an unfair advantage? Oh my God, that's hilarious. I used to... I did a bit. It's actually... It's on my Instagram somewhere. Where I was... me and Dave Elliott, another fucking big lad comedian. And we're like, we'll do the heavyweight cup. We'll see if we could drop down to like 265. Because that's the upper limit for the...
Jiu-Jitsu tournaments, isn't it?
No, for UFC heavyweight. Oh. So I used to do a bit where I was like, I weighed myself and I was like, if I was to fight Brock Lesnar, I'd have to lose 18 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
And then the bit was like, you know, someone pulling him over to the side and being like, you can't fight him. You're at an unfair advantage. This guy's heavier than you. But yeah, that was a depressing day. We're down around there now, don't worry about it. What memory do you just keep going back to in your career?
Oh my God, there's so many crazy fight stories, like, you could tell from different countries and different places. Like, there's so many hilarious mental things happen all the time. But, like, probably my favourite memory was Isabella running in the cage in my last fight. Like, that was so special. It was, like, insane. Because I kept visualising it before, and then when it happened, I was like, oh, that was amazing. But
do you ever worry about her watching fights?
So she doesn't, and she never comes. Really separate from her, because she's only a kid, and she doesn't understand. Like, she's coming to end, you know. So she knows what I do, and she loves her being on TV, she loves her mummy, blah, 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 but she would never actually come and watch. And even in that last fight, she didn't watch. She sat at the back. Or she stood out in the three arena in the hallway. She says that she was standing there. And my mum was running the night, being like, she's doing well. Like, pray as well. She says, and then obviously when I won, they brought her in. And like, she ran in. Like, but that was the best, like, probably the best moment of my life. Just so
amazing. That's
amazing.
Like, that's class. I'd just be crying all over the place.
I know, it was so emotional.
That's
but that, yeah, but other fights, like, oh my God, I could tell you 10 million stories that happened when we were in different countries and crazy things happened there. Like, we book Airbnbs. Like, we did it one time in the Bronx and it was, like, totally catfish Airbnb. There was, like, Mexican men living in the rooms beside us sleeping. It was, like, we had to run through the Bronx, grab our stuff and do a runner. It was crazy.
Catfish Airbnb.
Yeah, it was like home away from home. We arrived.
Yeah. But didn't, for a fucking Mexican. Yeah, if you live.
It didn't tell you it was in the Bronx. It was in New York.
If you're home before that, it was sleeping in a bath. This is also home away from home.
And it was, like, in this real life, we came down to this, like, cellar. And, like, it was in the Bronx, and, like, there were people just, like, scrapping the street. Like, it was horrendous.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, there's just so much happens when you're, like, travelling and fighting. It's crazy.
Yeah, you probably go back. Have you had any, like, motivational bad moments where you're, like, you think about it and you're like, well, let's not let that happen again. And you just fucking beat the shit out of a punch bag somewhere.
After one fight that I lost.
Because I feel like that's how I would handle it, is spite.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, my pro debut, I, like, woke up. I couldn't breathe. I was like, oh my God, the girl had threw me so hard I cracked my collarbone. My eyes were, like, black, hanging out of my head. I actually couldn't move or dress myself. And I remember lying in this room, this shit hotel room, being like, what the fuck did I do? Like, humiliated. I felt like I humiliated myself on, like, live TV, BT Sport, because I'd lost the fight. So you wake up, you don't even want anybody to see you. You're just so embarrassed. You're just in so much pain. And I was like, oh, this is the worst feeling of my life ever. And my coaches like helped dress me, and I like went to the airport, like did a runner, because we were in the fighters hotel, like glasses on, big hat on, going to the airport. And like, see when you're sitting in an airport with your coaches, a female with black eyes, so they're obviously thinking she gets battered by her fella. Like, people don't know, do you know what I mean? It's
like, you need to get like a big t-shirt. Professional MMA fighter.
This was not coach. Them.
I'm with coach.
The way to look, she gets in crazy.
Fuck. We'll wrap this up here. Just so before camera runs out of life here. Who do you want to fight next? Let's get one to end on.
So I was meant to fight in Wembley in May in Bellator London. I was a girl, Janae Harding from New Zealand.
Right.
And hopefully that's going to be my next fight. It was meant to be in October in Dublin, but obviously I can't now. So hoping before the end of the year, hopefully Bellator go to Hawaii or something and bring me out there.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah. You're like, fuck Three Arena, take me somewhere nice.
I've never done that.
Yeah, not walking through the pish and rain, the headline of fight, fuck that. Take me to Hawaii.
I remember...
Were you lying there with your eyes hanging out of your head going, I think this is nice.
I know. I did the Three Arena. I just headlined the Three Arena. And then we went to... with my after party in Dublin. Couldn't get a taxi home. And I remember in the pissing rain standing. I was just the biggest end of my life. Getting in a tuk-tuk with a man cycling. Me and my mate back to the hotel room. It was like...
After that fight?
Is this real life? Like, we're in a plastic tuk-tuk. Going through Dublin in the torrential rain. Like, it was... I was like, yeah.
Back to real life then. Yeah. Jesus Christ. We'll leave it there. We'll get you back on before a fight,
yeah,
hopefully.
Definitely. You should come watch it again if I'm in Dublin or anywhere. Right. I'm trying to bring Bellator to Belfast, so we'll have to campaign for that.
Oh, yeah.
Windsor. Mm-hmm.
Windsor?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. What's the capacity in there?
Well, I was talking... The guys that actually approached me, they asked me about it. The guys that do the bookings for Windsor, and they said like 15,000. Three Arena, I think, is only 10, so we're going to have to...
For some reason that seems like a way bigger event. What? Like as an exciting event.
Yeah, totally.
You know, people would go to that for the crack. Like.
Yeah. Just anybody would think we'd go because it'd be so
exciting. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But you nearly need that, don't you? Especially if you're you. And you like, who are you talking to for advice?
Yeah.
As like a, you know, top shelf female MMA fighter. It's pretty, you know, there's not like loads of you, but... yeah, you need that initial, like, oh, we'll go for the crack here. And then they're like, fucking right, this is amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I think when most people start watching fights, they stop watching everything else.
Yeah. It's so exciting. Like, MMA is so exciting.
Like, I can't imagine, like, I know people are into both, but, like, just watching, like, fucking exciting card and then just watching some shitty football match.
Golf or something.
Golf. Yeah. Fuck off.
Cricket.
I'd rather get punched in the face than watch golf. Right, we'll wrap it up there. Thanks very much for coming on.
No worries.
And we'll get you on ahead of a fight in the future.
Yeah.
Liam Court, everyone. Now put in claps there.
You can't even clap.